for this evening is based on Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. And if you have it open before you, please follow along. And I would ask the congregation, for those who are able, to please stand out of reverence for God's word. And I'll read this portion. Page 1590 in most of the pew Bibles. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Let us bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, as we have the Christmas narrative before us, we pray, Lord, that you'll help us to understand. And I know, Lord, that for so many, this passage of Scriptures is something that we've heard most all of our lives. And I pray, Lord, tonight that whether it's a new story, a newer story, or an old story that we know well, we might really truly meditate on the significance, that we might truly see your great love for us, and your mercy and your grace in sending the gift of your Son. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray and ask your blessing. Amen. You may be seated. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. If you remember back earlier in our service, we looked at Micah chapter 5, the prophecy about Bethlehem being the place that the Messiah would come from. And in each of the passages that we read, and including in Galatians chapter 4, it's amazing to look at the details that happened, all the promises, all the prophecies that were predicted in the Old Testament that had to be fulfilled. And the details that God had concerned himself with to make it all work, to make sure that we could look back on the Old Testament promises and say, you know what? What God said he would do, what God said would be true about the Messiah is exactly the way it happened. As we look through this passage, the first few verses, we see that Caesar Augustus issued a decree for a census. And I know for some of you, if you're taking notes, you're probably not writing a lot about that because it's like, who cares? It doesn't seem like it's that big a deal. It is in the sense of putting this in the context of history. I was a history major in college, which meant I learned a little bit, but not as much as I should have. But I remember when we studied the Roman Empire. And I remember studying about Caesar Augustus. And then I remember looking at the Gospel of Luke and reading about Caesar Augustus and saying, wow, they fit together. Because God works in history. God has kept his promises over the years. And the ultimate promise is the gift of salvation, being declared righteous in his sight, not because of our own good works, our own good efforts, but based on what Jesus has done on our behalf, that Jesus was our substitute. He obeyed perfectly the will and law of God. And if you're honest with yourself, you can fool me, but if you're honest with yourself and honest with God, you have to admit that you, like all of us by nature, have fallen short. Jesus became our substitute, not only on the cross, not only in his sufferings and death, but even in his perfect life. He obeyed completely all of God's will. He obeyed the Ten Commandments, not only outwardly, but also inwardly, his motivations and his thoughts, as well as his outward actions. We read that a census was issued and that everyone had to return to his hometown to register. A lot of people moving around, a lot of people changing locations. But again, it's interesting how God said the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. And I know, I speculate that Caesar Augustus said, hey, I've got a good idea, I'm going to take a census. And we can look at this text and say, you know what? God moved Caesar's heart so that Caesar would help accomplish God's purposes in the birth of the Messiah in this situation. Going on to verses 4 through 7, we see that Jesus, as was predicted, was born in Bethlehem. Joseph, of course, because he came from the line of King David. Mary also came from the line of King David. And in Matthew and Luke, each of their genealogies is listed. Sometimes people will look at the two genealogies and say, look at the contradictions. None. One is the lineage of Joseph, Jesus' adoptive father. And Luke focuses on Mary. And both are important, both are valuable, both are necessary. But they go back to King David, and then they go back to Abraham, even as God had predicted that David would have a son that would continue on the throne. And he will reign forever and ever. Joseph went to Bethlehem. Not only did he go to Bethlehem, he went to Bethlehem with Mary. We read the details that God had to stop Joseph from his plans. He knew that Mary was pregnant. He knew that he was not the biological father. So the waiting period in a Hebrew engagement or betrothal was a year long. And it would show that that couple was pure in their behavior. And Joseph said, something happened and I know it wasn't me. But the angel said, Joseph, don't be afraid. This is the Lord's work. It's the work of the Holy Spirit, creating a miracle in Mary that never would be repeated again. But that's why there was a prophecy given to Isaiah. The virgin shall conceive and shall bear a son. And he will be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. God with us. They traveled to Bethlehem. We read in verse 6 and 7 that while they were there, the baby was born. The time came and a son was born. We read she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. And literally, the Greek says, the son of her, the firstborn one. The firstborn in the Old Testament had special rights and privileges. and that is Jesus. We read in the book of Colossians that he was the firstborn from the dead. Not that he was the first one ever raised from the dead, but along with his resurrection from the dead, there was that authority and that power that had been given to him so that he could claim all power, all authority in heaven and in earth has been given to me. Therefore, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them and teaching them. We read that a son was born to Mary. He was wrapped up and placed in a manger. And we remember that later on, the shepherds were told, look for this sign. The child wrapped in the cloths, placed in the manger. As we see verses 8 through 12, we see that the angels proclaim the good news about Jesus to the shepherds. The shepherds were doing their normal work. Nothing unexpected, nothing that they were anticipating. But suddenly we read that an angel appears. The angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. They knew something was going on. They knew something unusual was going on. And they knew that the Lord was present there in a very special way. And they were terrified. It doesn't say they were a little bit afraid. They were terrified. These are men who by profession would be protecting the sheep, even to the point of laying down their life to guard the flock. They would at times face various wild animals. I don't think they intimidated very easily. We read they were terrified, but the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Listen to the three things that describe the Lord Jesus in here. He's a Savior. The only one that can save us from our sins. He is the Savior. He is Christ. He is the Messiah. The chosen one, the anointed one of God the Father, predicted so many years before. And he also is the Lord. He is the Lord. We're told that someday every knee will bow, every tongue confess, even those that reject Jesus during their life on this earth. But when he comes back again in all his glory, everyone will confess that Jesus is Lord. For those who have rejected God's salvation, for those who have rejected God's mercy, for those who have resisted the work of the Holy Spirit prompting them and drawing them to faith in Jesus Christ, for those who have rejected, it won't be a second chance. It would be a very frightening and a very terrible day. For those who have been broken by the law, who have been humbled and acknowledged their sin and looked to Jesus for salvation, it will be an amazing day. A day that we can barely even comprehend. And a day that once it begins will never end. Going on to verses 13 and 14. The angel appeared, an angel of the Lord appeared. And I see this pattern with the shepherds and also with the angels. The good news about Jesus is shared. And then there's a breaking out into praise. Because it appears that the angels and it appears that the shepherds can't keep quiet and can't keep from praising God when they share the good news of Jesus Christ with those who need to hear it. We see in verse 13 that there was a heavenly host. Suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared. A term that sometimes we sing, a phrase that we sing in Luther's hymn, A Mighty Fortress, Lord Sabaoth, his name. It's not a quiz. I'm not going to ask you to tell me what that means. Let me help a little bit for those that are maybe a little bit rusty on their Hebrew. That would be me. That would be me. Lord Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. We see the heavenly host or the heavenly army appearing and declaring God's praises. The Lord is the Lord of that heavenly host. And even more, beyond number, beyond what we understand or can comprehend. And listen to their message. They were praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest. Glory to God in the highest. God be praised. God be praised. And on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. I remember growing up getting Christmas cards, and oftentimes this phrase was on that card, and I was kind of confused about it. I just thought that God wanted us to have peace and that he wanted us to have goodwill toward other people. And I think ultimately that's not the idea. That really falls far short of what we have here. The ESV, I think, helps us a little bit. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. God is merciful. God is gracious. God has sent us his Son. God has revealed salvation to us so that faith in Jesus will give us that assurance of peace with God, of a home in heaven. Imagine that any of us can say, God is pleased with me. It's not because of our good works, not because of us. It's because what Jesus has done on our behalf. And as beggars, hungry for bread, we receive that gift of forgiveness. We receive that gift of eternal life. And we experience God's favor. And we know, I've done nothing to deserve this. I could never earn God's favor. I could never earn a place in God's heaven. But God is gracious. And even tonight, he extends the offer of forgiveness and salvation to each and every one of us tonight. An angel proclaimed the good news to the shepherd. And then the invisible heavenly host became visible and proclaimed the glory of God, the praises of God. A little foretaste of eternity to come. And then looking at verses 15 through 20. Maybe not looking at verses 15 through 20. I'll tell you what I have on my outline here. I started that earlier in the week. The shepherds proclaim the good news about Jesus and proclaim the praises of God. We read that the shepherds said, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off to find Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. They went to see the thing that the Lord had prepared them and told them about. They saw it with their own eyes. And you know what? It's not exactly the same, but when our firstborn son was born and grandmas and grandpas came to visit the family, who did they come to visit? They kind of forgot about Sarah and me. It was all about their grandchild. And that's, grandparents, go for it, go for it. That's fine. Enjoy your grandkids and enjoy that. The shepherds came. And Mary and Joseph didn't seem to get a lot of attention. It was all about Jesus. And that's right and that's correct and that's the way it should be. And then we see that the shepherds spread the word concerning Jesus. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child. And notice the reactions of the people that heard. Mary and Joseph seem to be there based on what is said here. But the group that had heard this good news, we read, all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had said to them. They were amazed that God's prophecies for hundreds of years had come true, had been realized. The Messiah had come. Jesus the Messiah, Jesus the Christ, the Anointed One, the Chosen One, the only innocent one, the only righteous one, came to give his life for we who are sinners, for all of us who are sinners, the righteous one for the guilty ones, so that by faith in Jesus, the guilty ones can be declared by God the Father the righteous ones, accredited or an imputed righteousness, not anything that I've earned, not anything that you can earn. All who heard this message were amazed. You know what? We can come up with law. We can come up with a system of do's and don'ts. We can develop religions and say, okay, just have to do these 5, 7, 10, 35 steps, whatever the case may be. Give your religion your own title, and you see the abundance of religious teachings around us. But none of us could come up with the gospel. None of us could come up with the gospel. And when the shepherds were sharing the good news or the gospel, people were amazed at this good news. Then we read about an individual, Mary. She treasured these words. She pondered these words. We read in verse 19, but Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And that phrase is used several times about what Simeon and Anna prophesied about baby Jesus. She treasured those words in her heart. She believed them. She clung to them and treasured them. And then in verse 20, we see the end of this section, not the end of the story, of course. But we see that the shepherds returned glorifying God and praising God for all these things. The things that were just as they had been told. Do you think the shepherds spoke one time, gave praise to God, and said, okay, let's get back to our business? I'm sure they still watched over their flocks. But boy, did they have an exciting story to tell. And many people from that time to the present time have been telling the same story. The story hasn't changed. The good news is still good news. And the good news is for sinners. That for Jesus' sake, your sins are forgiven. Not because God pretends that they're gone, but because the penalty has been made on your behalf, on my behalf. That by faith in Jesus, we can know that for certain, that our sins are forgiven, that we have a home in heaven. And we, like those shepherds, can not only believe that good news, but we can tell people, let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you what the season is truly all about. And that joy and that message, we don't have to stop sharing today or tomorrow. Let it spill over into the new year and in the months and the years to come. God sent his son. Our firstborn son is in Ukraine right now on a short-term mission. And he sent just a little post on his Facebook. If you don't like Facebook, just ignore that part of it. And it was a picture, and it was modified a little bit, the bubbles there. But the first picture was, the first part of the picture, the dad and some of the other kids were there, and they were talking about, what did you get? The little boy was opening up his present and said, a Savior, a Savior. That's what we got for Christmas. We didn't deserve him. We didn't earn him. But he's a free gift. And we receive Jesus by faith. And when we receive Jesus, we have that assurance. We have that peace. We have that favor of God. That is incredible and amazing, and the motivation for all of our praise, the motivation for all of our Christian works, and the good works that we do, and the acts of love and charity that we show toward our neighbor. Motivated by a heart overflowing with praise for what Jesus has done for us. Amen.